Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a modulated Jungle Reese patch in Ableton Live 12, and the big goal here is simple: make it sound huge, alive, and nasty in the mid-range, but keep it lean on CPU and totally usable in a Reedl DNB mix, because that's the Reedl challenge with Jungle Bass. In solo, it's easy to make something monstrous. The hard part is making something that still leaves room for the kick, the snare, the break, and the sub. So we're going to think like producers, not just sound designers. We want a bass that moves, but doesn't fall apart. Wide when it needs to be, mono where it counts, and efficient enough that your session doesn't start gasping for air. First, let's set the mindset. A Jungle Reese isn't just a sound. It's part of the drum arrangement. It should push and pull with the break, answer the snare, and create tension between the hits. In drum and bass, especially jungle and darker rollers, the bass line has to do a lot of work. It needs to groove, create energy, and still leave headroom for the drums to slam. So, start with one clean, efficient synth source. In this lesson, we'll use Wavedable, because it gives you enough character and modulation power without needing a giant stack of devices. On a new MIDI track, load Wavedable and choose a saw-based waveform, or a basic saw shape if that's simpler. Then duplicate the oscillator with the same waveform, and detune it just a little. You're aiming for subtle movement, not some huge super saw wash. Think around 6 to 12 cents of detune, not full chaos. If Wavedable's unison is available, keep it modest. 2 to 4 voices is plenty. More than that and you're usually just spending CPU for very little payoff, especially in a fast DNB session, where there's already a lot happening. The Reese should feel wide and unsettled, but still focused. Now, keep the notes in a lower register. C1 to G1 is a good starting zone for the main bass line. That low-mid area is where the Reese gets its weight and bite, but we're not trying to own the sub. The sub has its own job. And that's the next key concept, split the responsibilities. In DNB, especially when you want the mix to hit hard, the cleanest approach is to use a separate sub-layer and a separate Reese mid-layer. The sub gives you the foundation, and the Reese gives you the movement and attitude. So make a second bass track for the sub. Keep it simple. Use operator or Wavedable with a sine wave. Keep it mono. No stereo spread. No fancy effects. No reverb. Nothing that clouds the bottom. This layer should just sit there and do its job. It doesn't need to flex. It needs to be solid. Then on your Reese mid layer, put an EQ8 first or near the front of the chain and high pass it somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz. That keeps the mid bass from fighting the sub. This separation is huge. It's one of the main reasons the patch works in a mix, because the sub handles the weight while the Reese handles the motion. That leaves space for the kick and snare to punch properly. Now let's bring in movement. This is where the patch starts to feel alive. In Wavedable, assign LFO1 to a few important parameters. Don't go wild and modulate everything. Pick a few targets that matter most. Wavedable position, filter cutoff, and maybe a tiny amount of detune. If you want, you can also add a very subtle pan or stereo movement, but keep that really restrained. For the LFO rate, try something sync to 1 bar, 2 bars, or even half a bar, depending on how busy you want it to feel. I usually like slower motion for jungle and dark DNB, because the bass feels more expensive when it evolves gradually. A smooth triangle shape or a soft curve is a good starting point. You want the sound to breathe, not wobble like a gimmick. This is where the jungle character comes in. That shifting tone, that slight instability, that sense that the bass is always in motion. It helps the line feel like it belongs to the break. Classic jungle bass often sounds like it's reacting to the drums, not just sitting on top of them. That's the vibe we're after. Next, add auto filter after Wavedable. This is one of the best CPU-friendly ways to make a bass line feel like it's developing over time. Set it to a low-pass mode, either 12 or 24 dB, and start with a cutoff somewhere around 150 to 500 Hz, depending on how open you want the sound. Keep resonance moderate. Too much resonance and the bass starts to get pokey or whistly, which can fight the snare and make the line feel thinner. Then add saturator after the filter. This is where the bass gets its grit and presence. Set the drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB as a starting point, and switch soft clip on. That adds harmonics, which helps the Reese cut through dense breakbeats and makes it translate better on smaller systems. In DNB, that matters a lot. You need the bass to be heard through layered drums, not just felt in the sub. But keep this controlled. If you overdo saturation, the sound turns into a flat buzzy sheet, and you lose the punch and shape. The trick is to add just enough harmonics that the bass has attitude without getting in the way of the groove. Now, instead of stacking a bunch of fancy effects, stay focused. A lot of people try to make bass bigger by throwing on chorus, phasers, extra unison, reverbs, all kinds of stuff. Most of the time, that just burns CPU and makes the bass harder to mix. Better to use a few intentional tools and automate them well. So map a few macros or automation lanes. At minimum, I'd map filter cutoff, saturator drive, wave eatable position, and maybe volume trim. Then think in phrases. Over the first 4 bars, keep the filter fairly closed. In bars 5 to 8, open it a bit more. In bars 9 to 12, add a little more drive and motion. Then in bars 13 to 16, pull it back slightly for contrast. That kind of phrase-based motion sounds way more musical than constant random movement. And that's a really important teacher point. In TNB, automation is arrangement. Small changes every 4 or 8 bars make the track feel intentional. If the bass is always changing, nothing really feels like it's changing. But if you give the listener contrast, the drop feels bigger, the fills land harder, and the groove has shape. Now let's deal with stereo and low-end control. Put utility after the chain. The rule here is simple. Keep the sub centered, and only let the res feel wide in the mid-range. If the patch starts feeling blurry or facey, reduce the width. If you're checking compatibility, hit mono on utility for a moment and listen. If the bass loses a ton of power, it means the widening is too aggressive. A good DNB move is to keep the low end mono and let the top of the bass range have a little width. That gives you excitement without wrecking the club translation. And if you want to open things up during a breakdown or fill, that's a great moment to do it. Wider on the phrase ending, tighter in the drop. That contrast is strong. Now write the MIDI around the drums, not just around the scale. This is one of the biggest differences between a bass loop that sounds cool and a bass line that actually works in a track. Jungle and DNB are drum-first genres. The bass has to respect the snare, the break swing, and the gaps in the rhythm. Start simple. 2 or 4 notes per bar is enough. Use short to medium note lengths. Leave space around the snare hits. If the break is busy, don't crowd it. If there's a gap in the drum pattern, that's your chance to drop a bass stab in there. You can use offbeat hits, little call and response ideas, an octave drop in the second half of the phrase, or a quick pickup note before the next bar. The point is to make the bass talk with the drums. In jungle, that push and pull is everything. If you listen to older records, the bass often feels like it's dodging the break, answering it, and sometimes even teasing it. That's the energy we want. After that, if you want to shape the whole thing a bit more, group the bass layers and maybe even the drums if you're working quickly. On the bass group, use EQA to clean up mud around 180 to 350 Hz if needed. That area can get bloated fast in res patches, especially if you've got to tune and saturation happening at the same time. If the sound gets harsh, a gentle cut somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz can help too. You can also try a touch of drum bus on the bass group, but keep it light. A little drive can add density and forward push, which is nice when the drums are dry and punchy, but don't overcook it. The kick and snare need to stay crisp, and the bass should support the groove, not flatten it. At this stage, if the patch starts getting heavy on CPU, don't be afraid to resample. That's a very normal workflow in Ableton Heavy DNB production. Solo the bass, record 4 or 8 bars of the movement into audio, and then work with that audio clip. You can chop it, reverse parts, automate fades, or slice it around the drums. This is especially useful if you want the bass to feel alive in one section and more edited or percussive later on. And honestly, that's one of the smartest ways to work. Build a great sound, then print it. That frees you up to arrange instead of constantly tweaking synth settings. For arrangement, think in 16-bar blocks. Bars 1 to 4 can be a teaser with filtered bass and restrained drums. Bars 5 to 8 open into the main groove. Bars 9 to 12 can bring in extra movement, maybe a little more saturation or a fill. Bars 13 to 16 can switch it up, maybe with narrower width or a rhythmic variation. If you want a DJ-friendly intro or outro, strip it back. Use drums only, or sub only, or a very thin version of the res. Then in the drop, bring the full patch in with a small lift in cutoff, a touch more saturation, and maybe a little extra width. That kind of contrast makes the drop feel huge, without needing a different sound design every 8 bars. A few common mistakes to watch out for here. First, don't make the whole bass stereo. Keep the sub mono. Second, don't overdo unison. 2 to 4 voices is enough. Third, don't modulate cutoff and detune so hard that the bass disappears or loses its groove. Fourth, don't let the res fight the snare. Leave room in the pattern and cut mud when needed. And fifth, don't stack a bunch of effects just to make it sound bigger. Usually, Better arrangement and smarter automation will do more for you than another plugin ever will. If you want to push the sound darker or heavier, there are some great extra moves. Try small filter automation changes every 8 bars, or use a very quiet distorted layer above the Reese high pass so it stays out of the sub. You can also use clip envelopes to make specific notes behave differently, which gives you that old-school jungle movement without drawing huge automation curves everywhere. Another good trick is to keep one safe version of the patch and one fully loaded version. The safe one is your low CPU fallback. The full one is for when you want maximum motion. That way, if your project starts getting tense, you can swap to the lighter version without rebuilding everything from scratch.